Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's your boy Cartez the Shade, kicking it live here with my mother from another mother, Miss Jackson, with LLBP Radio. Where you got your hardcore rap and your smooth R&B for the ladies? So tune in for the best time of your life. With the most real talk topics, hardcore freestyle, you can't get no better. Miss Jackson, I love you, baby.
She's the best that you ever had, the finest on the internet. Why you smoking up on that dodo? She gon' tell it how it is, nigga, like
they didn't even have the power to make sure that what they felt publicly at least should have happened happened. So if the mayor and the police chief can't even truly control, because one of the ways you control anybody is with penalties, punishment, discipline.
Yes, very much so. Control. Right now they're doing sanctions from the government.
So if the police are free to move how they want to move, not saying that this is the reason why it's a lot of crime. What I'm saying is this. If the police chief in America can't even discipline the cops and the force, then you know what? That intensity to stop crime, that passion to stop crime is going to come day by day based on the individual officers who wake up that morning and feel like doing it. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I can never be a fireman. You need to tell me if a pedophile house catch on fire, I still got to put it out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm judgmental. I can't do it. So I feel like crime is where it's at, really, because a lot of people don't give a shit.
Well, I mean, that's number one. If you care, I keep saying this song, and I really believe it. You care because it doesn't affect them. You understand? When it affects one neighborhood, when crack affected black folk, it was what? It was just a problem. Yeah. But when meth hit when the pills and meth and all that, then it became a crisis. It became, an epidemic, something we need to deal with right now. These people are dying. And then we the fuck went dying out in the 80s.
But the problem, I hear what you're saying about that, but I feel like the bigger problem is us right now.
We are our biggest problem.
That's to be like, even absolutely.
Very much so, sir.
The life of the next person. And crime in Indianapolis isn't going to stop until people decide, like, yo, enough is enough. Like, I'm just being honest. Like, the other day, I was dropping my daughter off to a friend. And a man and a woman got into it. And the woman was in the car with her son. I'm assuming the man was in the car by himself. I didn't see anybody. But he pulled over, started yelling at her about zooming through the parking lot. I couldn't really hear what she was saying. She was yelling back. And at first, he's saying, like, what I would consider a good guy. He's like, damn, you shouldn't have been flying through the parking lot. And cussing in front of your son. And then the conversation flips. And excuse me, I'm about to cuss. All of a sudden, he's like, you know what, bitch? You don't know who I am. You don't know where I'm from. You know you fucking with. I'll shoot you in your face in front of your son. Conversation just clips on the lake. He gets scared, of course, backs up, pulls off. You know, he politely pulls out the parking space. He sees me and my daughter. He kind of, I think when he saw us, he felt a little bad about what he had just said. Because he kind of falls.
Right.
Like he wanted to say something, not like, in a threatening manner, but kind of like, my bad type of situation. And then he went ahead and pulled off, and I'll just be honest with you. At no point did I think, oh, let me intervene. Let me stop. Nah, my first thought was, that's your business. You got your daughter in the car, first priority, which I am not fucked up about thinking that way at all. But at the same time, it still bothered me enough that when we made eye contact, I kind of gave him that look like, damn, really, bro? Like, that's really, as a man, That's what you want to do? Threaten to shoot a lady in the face? And it just reminded me, like, yo, the city, like, listen, people get mad when people, like, I'm tired of the violence, I'm leaving. I don't see nothing wrong with that. I don't see nothing wrong with that because 9 times out of 10, Indianapolis has been a pretty safe environment. You know what I mean? Like, but that's in comparison to what? If you've only lived in Indianapolis, what you're going off of
is based on
what Indianapolis
mall.
Was.
Right.
Yeah, but
so what
the
is
thing, it shouldn't be, put it like this. The first thing people say when you say Indianapolis is getting bad, oh, well, it's as bad as Chicago. I don't live in Chicago, so I don't give a damn.
I was like, what the fuck Chicago got to do with the fucking land? I pay rent here.
So if people are unhappy about the violence in Indianapolis to the point where they want to move, I'm okay with that. I get it. Because it wasn't like this 10 years ago. I remember telling people, even though certain aspects of my career I felt would have been better in another city, I was happy raising my child in Indianapolis. Now, when it's time for her to go off into whatever career she wants, yeah, I want her to consider other cities. I mean, like, one of the biggest problems with Indianapolis and the state of Indiana is that most of our college graduates leave and never come back. So our brightest and smartest, I'm saying you're dumb if you don't go to college, that's not what I'm saying, but people who we invest our time and energy to and expect to become the leaders of tomorrow leave Indiana and Indianapolis the first opportunity they get. And one of the reasons is because of the crime as it is. So if you want to sit back and say it ain't that bad, I'm going to tell you it is. That's why we keep losing these contracts to these organizations.
You know,
companies that don't want to come here.
I have a brother. Who has his master's degree from, what's that, Brown University down in ATL, got his bachelor's up here in IU. Very educated man. And he won't come back. It ain't just the crime. You know, the racism is become, it used to be subtle in certain areas, some more blatant than others. Now they on some outright, I don't give a damn. You know what? To where you be saying, damn, that was racist as fuck. He just say that. Do he see me standing here? Hell yeah, he see you. You know, he don't give not one or two farting nukes about your ass. To where, like I said, I just watched, I had posted on my page, I believe it was yesterday, there was a 18-year-old girl, and did you see that in Fruitvale Station? Mm-hmm. Who had got killed? That white guy came and just stabbed her ass up, and her sister. She died just for the hell of it. Unarmed people, just we so busy killing each other, though. It's so many people killing us. Why would we want to kill each other? That's where the idiocy come to me wrong. It's bad enough that we are some of the most hated, the most disrespected races on the planet. Yet we hate each other ourselves. Self-hate got to be the worst. It literally has to be the worst hate about to me. And for us to hate ourselves, what's wrong with you? Find out why do you hate you. Folks run around hating on other people. A lot of times it's either to make themselves feel better. You know, you got to stand on somebody's back or neck to make yourself feel like a man or a woman. But I feel like at some point you got to start looking at, don't get naked, whether it's literally or figuratively, and check yourself. Learn to love ourselves so we can start growing because the love is gone. You know, we can blame it on, say, these video games are getting more high-tech and the music is all talking about. But ain't one song pulled no trigger. Ain't not one video game pulled no trigger. It's senseless mentality. And the killers are getting younger and younger, you know. And I can't speak for the Caucasians and how they doing and thinking. I'm speaking on us. Our idiocy is beyond at this point.
It is.
Beyond. and feel like but you want to know where to start the shit at, I'm going to tell you where to start. The police ain't going to start nothing for you. Government ain't. That's called policing your goddamn self. When y'all got kids, start at home. There are things like curfews, punishment, ass beatings. They ain't too good. Call the law on me. Call them, baby. Come get these motherfuckers. I bet you bring their ass back. Come get them. Bet they bring baby ass back. They don't want them. Devil don't want them. Call them on me. Some of them need that ass beat.
Yeah,
but you got to start somewhere, because this mentality of self-hate and murder is cute and stuff. Like I said, this ain't no video game. Ain't no motherfucking reset button in here. Got these kids thinking it's some cool shit. I'm carrying my AK. Damn, did you just see on the news they got that blueprint? You can get the blueprint for the goddamn gun on a 3D printer?
That worked. But y'all really want to stop it?
They don't want to stop it. It's guns and butter, baby. Please believe. That's what make money. Money make money. Money make the world go round. They need guns. Trump just made a speech today talking about we about to build warships, get some old stealth planes. We're going to do this, and we're going to build and make more guns. Guns is money. Guns bring fear and cause safety and security. They make you feel safe. How many motherfuckers run around here would be so rah-rah, hully-gully if you took that piece out their motherfucking hand? Police included. Man, that's real life, though.
No, everything you say is on.
That's real life.
Especially the part about the parents. Like, I made a statement like that a couple weeks ago. And it wasn't even like, it was just like, yo, once I start taking care of y'all damn kids.
Why we gotta have to deal with somebody else's kid? It takes a village, but that don't mean the village gonna do your job for you. You got to jump your happy ass in there too. Be a part of your child's life, or you'll have to be a part of their funeral. Make a decision.
Yeah. Like I got a 15-year-old. She'll be 16. You know what I mean? And I would love for her to be able to hang out and go places with her friends, but I ain't doing it.
It's funny
because I think maybe a year or two ago, she asked if she can go to the little free carnival by Washington Square.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I really don't want you to go. But I don't want to be an overprotective daddy, so I'm going to let you go for a little bit. And then I get a call from my daughter, Daddy, they up here shooting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And obviously, I'm happy she didn't get shot. I'm happy that she ran over to the mall because the mall was still open. And that's what she waited for, you know what I mean, to come pick her up. And so the fair is there now. And we were riding by, and I'm like, you want to go to the fair? She was like, nah, buddy. Last time I was there, they shot it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they learn, but you learn.
I'm happy she's learning, but at the same time, I hate the fact
that. Certain things you don't want your kids to learn.
My kid now would rather go to the Marion County Fair than to go to one of those small fairs that are connected to a mall parking lot. You know what I mean? Like, that's learning through fear. It's learning through experience.
Is that what I said? They teach you by fear. They make you run for safety. And you can't run through, you can't be in fear your whole life. A coward dies 1,000 deaths.
I think it's a different type of fear.
I think the fear is created. A lot of this fear, some of the fear is created. And some of it is real.
Yeah, but a lot of these, I'll say, at least I feel, a lot of the violence, and Smoke just kind of said it too, his comment was most of these murders ain't a random act of violence. It's karma catching up with these motherfuckers.
That's what I'm saying.
A lot of the situations that are going, like, it'd be a different situation if I felt like, I'll just say the murders that I know happened, it's not a dude who was scared, so he pulled the pistol. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. I really just wish we could find a solution. And I know we can't find a solution, but if we could just find something to start curbing, the violence. You know what I mean? Like, parents being more active, and that's hard as hell because most of the parents that need to be active feel like they ain't doing nothing wrong anyway.
And that's the problem. It's the worst ones that are the worst ones.
Mm-hmm.
A crazy person don't know they're crazy. You know what I'm saying? So a bad mama don't know she bad. I don't know if you were brought up wrong or you missed a few lessons on there or something, but I feel like, but then if you come to them, then mind your business, bitch. You know what I mean? Bitch, don't tell me damn my, and they got to do all the wagging and all that other stuff. I don't got time for all that. I'm trying to save your baby life. I did that very thing to my neighbor, and that one of them in prison right now for doing a murder. She not, because the second boy, I think they called him, but he was on the run. But it was my next-door neighbors at the yellow hat. And I would tell her, get them kids. They should not be out at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. We got to go to work in the morning. Why is your kid 6 on the porch at the night game on your porch?
You know, I saw a post not too long ago that really bothered me. But I decided not to speak on it. So I didn't feel like dealing with it. But I actually saw a parent post a picture of their child holding a gun. And it wasn't until...
That's devastating.
It wasn't to point out why it was bad. I mean, it was pretty much highlighted. And it's crazy to me, though. Like, you know, there is times in life where everything is fun and games and hee-hee and ha-ha's and stuff like that. But there are enough situations going on in the city where you should never be happy about your child posting a gun on social media.
That's not cute.
Like,
it's not even cute when grown folk do it. You understand me? The fans is watching. The police is watching. Y'all make their job so easy. They don't got to go and do all them investigations. They just wait on y'all to put your 20s and 50s in your mouth. And money is nasty, by the way. You ain't seen them even having all the money in their mouth. And they throw money all on the bed, make it rain, and I'm this and I'm that. I'm doing. How do you advertise a legal business on social sites?
That's the interesting. But look, the glamour. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm sure I was ignorant at some point in my life.
We all were.
I was never the guy that posted pictures of me holding money. I've never in my life posted a picture of me. I don't think I've ever even taken a picture of me holding a gun.
My occupation at one time was to hold a gun. As an Army person, we held M16. That was your job. But I didn't like taking pictures with that. You know, I felt like it was just part of my wardrobe. And when I take it out, you know, that was kind of like my earring. You just had it was an accessory, a heavy one, but an accessory nonetheless. But I don't find it cute or attractive. And you learn, you know, that things can happen.
So what can we start to do to break the cycle?
I'm going to tell you one more game. If you're the one talking about my kids, this and my kids, that don't tell me about my kids, you the first motherfucker I'm talking to. Get your ass home, out the club, stay up off the rooftop, or where it was, wherever it may be. They done burnt down the one club. So wherever you is, east, west, north, or south, memories, offers, I don't care where you are, and that's get your punk ass home where you need be with them damn kids. I'm just saying, baby mama. I ain't blaming it on the club. I'm blaming it on the mama. I ain't say the club was shit. I said baby mama ain't shit. You know what I mean? You can't, if the daddy ain't there to help you, that's still your child, first and foremost. You chose this route. Therefore, do your job. Then, make sure they attend. If you see your neighbor, sometimes, you know, they say if you knew better, you knew better. Sometimes they just don't know no better. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Some people just don't know no better.
So we
help them.
Yeah, but okay, so we got that. It starts at the home. Everybody agrees it starts at the home.
Here's where your wall, here's where you got a big brick wall at. Let me tell you, the elephant in the room in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And the surrounding region. We have one of the best gun shows in the Midwest. How you going to stop the violence when we got the bombest motherfucking gun show around?
Yeah, but they're not getting pistols from the gun shows.
Excuse me. Here's the thing. You're advertising violence right here.
Yeah, but see, what you're saying is the same as the video game, I'm saying. Like the violence.
Who are the biggest serial killers? The ones finding guns at the gun shows, are they not?
We don't have any serial killers here. We talk about Indianapolis. We have a serial killer here in, 7 years, 8 years, something like that.
But hold your breath. Hold your breath. Don't talk too fast.
We already know we disagree on the gun show. I feel like the gun show is a scapegoat.
Gun show, and you have this a compilation. Here's the thing: a pie is of the sum of it, but the pie is the sum of its pieces. The gun show is one aspect; it is not the whole pie.
I disagree with that because
I believe are the gun shows.
Most of the people that can afford to go to the gun show don't even live in Marion County.
And
have you been to the gun show? How many black people did you see?
I was gonna say I don't even have my guns at the gun show. No, I'm just saying my shit ain't even red.
I understand the gun show aspect, but I'm gonna say here in Indiana.
But you have, but you still have to take
the gun show comes once a year.
Is it just once? I thought it was twice.
The NRA one is once a year.
I know they have more than one gun show a year. Absolutely. And that's what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about the NRA.
But
I'm talking about period.
They have them in Hendricks County. Gun shows are everywhere. You know what I mean? So I don't think that's the problem with us, though. When I say
the
us.
Problem with us? The problem with us? Let me tell you the problem with us.
You go to gun shows,
guns have become too plentiful to where you can get one probably quicker than you can. You can get a gun quicker than you can some groceries half the time. You can get some.
You really believe that?
Yeah, I do. Cause motherfucker will hand you up, hey, bro, some smoke just popped off, bro. Let me hit that thing real quick. Or you'll be like, hey, bro, these niggas rolled on me. Come on, and they tendy, ready to roll out on somebody. You can get that, but you can be hungry, and I bet they won't come feed your ass. But they ready to pop some shit off. Tell me that they had a talk, though.
I'm saying it's not easier to get a gun.
I'm saying violence is easily sparked. Violence is easily sparked.
Yeah, but that's everywhere. But
I'm not saying it ain't about everywhere. I'm talking about that tier two. Because guns are so promoted to be such a strong weapon, it takes the fear out of a lot of punks. Understand that. It's a lot of people, like I said, if you take the gun away, they're nothing.
So you said that's what we need to work on, gun control.
We can't do nothing about gun control because they go, I ain't no front.
I'm trying to tell you
that's the problem, the solution.
There ain't no problem.
You know what? But then let's try some then. They police got to do that dumb shit that I tried to on any other city that
turn
in the gun. Start there. I don't know where the fuck the spring is starting.
Let me say this. I feel like the police can incite and ignite more violence than the gun shows.
They kill more black people.
Even without that, just like I'll use Indiana Black Expo this weekend for an example.
Mm-hmm.
There was 30 police in front of Blue and Tiki Bops. You can't find 30 police in any neighborhood right now. 30 downtown for Indiana Black Expo that hasn't had high attendance in at least 5 years, 4 years.
It was 30 people downtown.
It was more police
than it
downtown
was
this year. Than it was when
real life. Well, I went.
30 police in less than a block. We're talking about 30 police from one club to the next.
But I wrote,
and they were extra aggressive.
There's this field at the corner of 30th and I believe that's Molar Road. It's owned by Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
I rode past there during Speedway.
Oh my God!
I'm talking about they had massive bonfires. They had a murder out there. You know what I mean? But do you see any of that? Do they publicize that? Sometimes They need to let us know that it ain't just our neighborhood.
No, let me say this. And
where's all them police down there? Give us, if you gonna dog us,
listen,
they control us. Control them too.
Police is definitely, listen, I'm not even gonna play it now. Police is definitely deep. I mean deep. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm fussing and complaining.
I went out to that coke field and I'm talking about it popped off.
I know this for a fact.
Real life.
When Indy 500 and Brickyard 400 is down, you got police. Not only Indianapolis Metropolitan Police, you got sheriffs coming from almost every other county in this state to patrol that. Now, the big problem with that is what happens at Indiana Black Expo or downtown during that weekend and the treatment of people is absolutely different than it is when it comes to the treatment of people who are here for the Indy 500 or the Brickyard 400, and they have...
They close the blind eye. They close the blind. That's what I'm referring to, sir. It is the treatment of the people. That's why I said it's blatant. It's not subtle. It's blatant.
But I will say this. If you're at the 8500 and you black, you still get away with the same murder.
You know what? When I was hurt with him. Like I said, I was in the coal field with him, in the Coca-Cola field, burning fires, burning her and other shit, too.
We know it's a black-white thing. But if you black and you're at the 8500, you're getting away with the same crap that the white people get away with. But still believe the police and the way they handle things and their treatment of people, especially during big events, that incites more violence than a gun show coming to the city, whether it's one time or four times a year.
It's a lot of things that incite violence.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But
police are one of
them. You know, can't do too much about the kids 18 and up. I don't want to leave them out there just hanging, though, but I'm definitely all about focusing on the young people.
If you don't stop it early, at a certain age, because, you know, when you young, you are very influential.
Mm-hmm.
And we in our own minds, as children, we create role models. I look up to my dad, or I look up to my sixth grade teacher, or I look up to my pastor, my church, or to my neighbor, or whoever it may be. I'm just giving an example, the librarian. Would that make you feel right? I look up to the librarian, okay? My school counselor. But, oh, jeez. Take the wheel. Right now, you done broke the bell.
Collect that check.
That's no respect. Just collect the check.
They don't respect the lives of you go to their church. You don't go to their church at him.
I don't know about that. I can't say that.
Okay.
Straight face and a clear conscience, God was striking me dead because there was something real bad I had done. I had done something real bad. As a teenager. I'm not even shocked. I was cussed. Here's the thing.
Unless you remember.
I was so sure that I was born in the wrong place. I wasn't born in Indiana. I was meant for Indiana. So I ain't tell nobody. I went to Addicts High School. I was a cheerleader in Gary West and Gary Roosevelt. You should always come in town. They would storm all black, clowning. Woo, I'm like, oh, my God, it must be banging in Gary. I ran away to Gary for like a whole day. I ain't say overnight, the whole day. When it got dark, I got scared. Shit got real in Gary. You understand? It got real in the motherfucker. And me being little, you know, I was like 15 or so, but I look like I'm 12, and folks was looking at me real scary. You know where I ran? To the church door. They was having church. And you know what they did? They took my bus, called my mama, and they sent me home. They gave me a bus ticket. That wasn't my church. I don't know them.
Right, it wasn't your church, but in order
I ain't even from there.
Listen, what you just said. In order for you to get up, you had to do what?
They didn't know.
You had to run to the church, right?
You know what?
You had to run to the church.
How did they know I needed help? How did they know I needed help?
Here in Indiana, they need help every day, right now. What you mean? Have they?
You know what? It used to be a lot of tent services out, but now they shoot down so much, I wouldn't put no tent out.
All I said was the church will help you if you come to the church. That's all I'm saying.
Well, whoso, the Bible says whosoever will, let him come. So.
All we said is the church gets paid money to do what?
To help. All
right, so just remember.
Well, they are. But, you know, there are people, there are churches that are helping. You cannot damn the church. The church helps.
I never said the word damn.
I'm saying churches help. Every, you can't categorize. That's stereotyping if you say.
I didn't say they didn't help.
You cannot stereotype churches. Churches.
They help your people. So you're telling me the church is the pillar of the community? Which one? Because 9 times out of 10, whatever church you go to ain't even in your community no more.
The church that I come to?
I don't know about you, but do you go to the church that's by your house?
Well, I never have.
Okay, so
I never have.
So the church can't be the pillar of the community if none of the members who go to the church are even in the community.
They might be. I think some of my members of my church go live in that area.
No,
I just don't. 38th and Emerson, and I got a big church. Just a lot of them go to Mount Zion. And they do live in that area over there. I know that for a fact.
What,
it is in
there. I don't know. I'm asking. That's just me asking. I don't know what Mount Zion is.
Well, at one point, they were doing things for it. No, they had stopped because they're sending money. Excuse me. Excuse me. Let me finish. They've been sending money to help other people in disasters and stuff.
Wait, tell me. I just want to make sure I'm getting this clear. So you tell me they're not doing things.
I didn't say they're not doing things
Let me finish. Are you saying that because money is being sent elsewhere, that there aren't some things that are happening right here?
You're not saying that at all.
Well, I asked you what they was doing in 38 in the community. You said, well, at this moment.
Well, I mean, they feed people. They close people. They have a lot of different organizations that they help within this community.
Mm-hmm. Who?
They help the sick, the poor. They got clothes. They got, oh, my God, why don't you come and find out instead of them?
I don't go to that church.
Well,
I'm asking you what happens in that church.
Come find out.
Well, I don't live on 38 days.
You don't have to.
I go to the church as my
You don't live here, but you come here.
This is work. Nobody.
You can work for the Lord.
Really
you can work for the Lord.
I am doing the work of the Lord's work. This is what he blessed me with. A mouthpiece.
That could
I don't have anything against the church. I just want the church to do what they get a tax cut to do.
I can't speak for everybody's church, but I believe ours does.
And I wasn't saying yours doesn't. All I said was to what they do.
A lot of times what happens is they're starting to lose.
Are they losing?
They're starting to lose members.
Where are they going?
Let me explain. Would you cut it out? God, Dandruff.
I'm trying
to tell you. I'm talking about my church, though.
Okay.
I'm talking about. Okay. I don't know what's wrong with my plug, but it just stopped cooperating. But what I'm trying to talk about is, like, a lot of people have started losing faith in God himself.
Okay.
And, you know, back in the day, I always said back in the day, churches was everywhere. People populate heavily.
Mm-hmm.
But now the new stay woke, third eyes, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in Jesus. I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in religion. There's a lot of people, and I'm not judging. I'm just saying different categories of reasons why. Everybody has their own. They got to answer for their own situation. I can't judge them. That's not
true.
For me.
True.
Real life.
True.
And so, because I don't even know if I'm right.
Could be wrong.
So I'm not, how can I tell you if I don't know? And don't nobody know. Keep it 100 done. Don't nobody know. Say what you say.
Charlie Hustle, though, because his father's a preacher.
Well, you know what? My mama was a preacher and my granddaddy, but that don't mean nothing.
Been a preacher, Charlie Hustle, there.
You better watch that. You better watch your mouth, baby. Sheila, don't play. I don't know who he is, but I'm going to put my money on my mama.
Okay.
Any day.
I'm just saying, Charlie Hustle, pops.
God bless you, Charlie Hustle, father. But I know Sheila E. and Eric C. did their own thing. They, you know what? They weren't looking for They weren't looking for status. They were strictly looking for working for the Lord. So my grandfather would preach at the ministry, at the prison ministry and stuff like that. He didn't care for the pulpit. He wanted to speak to the people who needed to hear that. You know what I mean? And then he would take and buy fruit at the fruit stand downtown when he worked at Amtrak when he was downtown, and he would give the fruit away in the neighborhood. That was his way to pay it forward. My mama, she learned the sign language so that she could reach out to more people in the community. And now that brought more people to be able to understand and be able to participate and be able to do other things. She did a lot of stuff. She was a nurse. You know, but my mother put in work. They did work for the Lord. They weren't looking for a bit. My mama drove a regular old car, you know, a Honda Civic. She weren't looking for the big Cadillac. She was looking. She lived out in Butler. She wasn't looking for the fancy house. Her blessings came from above where it's supposed to come from. Mm-hmm. All blessings ain't monetary. And so you learn that if you're really a minister and you're really into what you're doing, just like a musician, you should do it for the love of the of music, not for the money. The money is added to it, but if you love music, make music because you love it. And praise God and preach the gospel because you love it, not because of a paycheck. It became a job. It, you know, you took the religion out when you start worrying more about money than people.
I ain't got no argument against that.
That's what I'm saying. God.
I appreciate anybody from a church to walk out the church doors and go help people.
I've learned to pay it forward through church.
The ones that sit down in the church to talk about what we'll do for you, if you're a member, I mean, it's okay.
Well, I don't need to be a member of something. I feel like if I help one person every day, I don't care if it's I give a bum a quarter on, you know, or help a lady. I done took a lady on the bus stop with two kids. It's 100 degrees outside. She ain't sweating waiting on the bus. Man, where are you going? Get in the car. You know what I mean? Let me drop you off. That, and I ain't give her no money, you know, but I felt like I made it a better day for them. I pay it forward in different ways. But I believe that paying it forward matters. And if you don't pay it forward, then you're missing out on a blessing. It's a beautiful thing to see somebody smile, honest smile, especially when they actually appreciate it. You know, like the lady on the bus stop. She almost was in tears. Somebody, you just don't know. You know, the kids was crying and I this and I that. I didn't think it meant that much to take you from 38th and Keystone down to, you know, the 30th and Clifton.
Mm-hmm.
But it meant the world to her, and the kids was burning up, you know what I mean? But you could tell they was happy to feel the air and shit. But it's the little things sometimes that we forget that mean a lot. And we got to start giving back the little things, even in our community. We forget about loving one another. We forgot reaching out to one another. That's why we're so fucked up and divided. And oftentimes we hating on each other. Poverty brings a lot of crime and violence. You want to start working on it. Work on the poverty in your neighborhood. Work on the poverty in your community.
So how would you do that?
Well, first off, let me tell it. Entrepreneurship.
Takes money.
However, eventually we're going to have to work together. And that's just it. That's it. I'm sorry, people. I danced and skirted around and skirt. But you have to work together. And as a community, we have to work together, not just neighborhood or street.
I think you got to start small. I think you're
the wrong person. You do. You have to start. I'm watching out for my neighbor house. I knock on the door. Hey, and this is how petty of a hip I am. Let me tell you, I'm a petty hoe. Let me tell you what I mean.
I'm a
petty hoe. God bless me. I'm still trying to get to heaven, though. But then what I did, I have a Caucasian neighbor, okay? Yeah, he done moved in my spot. But I appreciate it. Ain't nobody hanging out in the front. The thugs ain't out there. Ain't nobody acting up or nothing. Oh, but some black dude walked up to the door and was looking in the window. I don't know. Huh? No, my neighbor had.
Oh.
I'm Miss Kravitz. You remember that show of Miss Kravitz being in the window? Ah. I'm peeking out the blinds. Who that is? Y'all, they ain't never had no nigga neighbor, no nigga. Oh, I couldn't wait to, he got home. You might want to check your shit. It was some nigga running around. Sound like an old, it was some nigga running
around. Somebody from Little
Yes, her.
But you didn't hear that
from me. Don't talk about me, Jacob. Yes. I say some little boy was running out between your parts. You might want to check your shit out. You know what I mean? And he, you know, I appreciate you. And I'll make sure if anything's going on to your house, right on. You know what I mean? Now I got a buddy. Yeah, I don't know his name. I don't know where he's from. I do know where he's from. He said he's from, like, Minnesota or Wisconsin or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know nothing about bruh. He ain't even a bruh. Real life. But he's my neighbor, and now I know you'll watch my house, and I'll watch yours. But I got that same camaraderie across the street with Grandmommy. Shout out to Dallin Williams, Ms. Williams. Y'all know I love Grandmommy. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to me. Don't say nothing mean about Grandmommy. I say everybody about Grandmommy. That's Miss Jenkins. On the living color, that's the Miss. Don't do nothing to Miss Williams. Okay, but Grandmommy across the street. We watch out for her. She watch out for me. Now, it ain't but like 4 or 5 houses in my block. We hold it down like 4 flats on the Cadillac. But it started. And then we got the 10 point. Don't say shit. I said don't say nothing. Tell me. 10 point. But you know what?
That's what happens when you fail, huh? When you get paid to go to a neighborhood and you just back out and don't go there no more. I'm just, listen.
I did not feel any safer, people, with having a 10-point coalition. You know what I felt, though? I did feel something all up in my...
You should have felt safe, cheated at a tax dollar.
You know what I felt? I felt a little bit of camaraderie when I seen a lot of my neighbors in our neighborhood doing the walk around with them. I felt their pain.
How long did that walk last?
The thing was, is it wasn't that long. I felt like they were going through pain. A lot of them had gone through loss. You know what I'm saying?
Are they still there in the neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
They still, they have not.
They left.
Well, they still come around. Ours actually still on there. But they did have a success rate. I don't know if it was because of them. I'm just don't judge, pray. Don't judge. When they go low, we go high.
I'm going high right now. I haven't even said anything. I haven't said a word. I've been, even Charlie was like, you've never seen me this quiet. I've been on my best behavior the last at least 5 minutes.
2.5 minutes. All
right. He didn't give me 3. I ain't said nothing about the coalition. I didn't know him. I ain't said nothing about the coalition. I didn't know
him. I'm just saying. If there's any kind of positivity, don't knock it, because there's so much negativity going on. There's more than enough negativity.
What's on 38 the most? We could. McDonald's? Ever take the McDonald's?
Oh, damn.
Oh, man.
Look, I can't even get the bill.
Listen.
Now, we got a 38 in McDonald's. We got a 38 in McDonald's at Capitol Hill to protect them.
No, listen. 38 in post. You got McDonald's and Taco Bell. That's on the that's on the southeast corner. There's a plaza right there. On the coalition. You talking about the cafe? The coalition hanging out on 38 and Folks. What are they doing on 38 and Folks? I just left a meeting over there. They weren't over there, and they definitely wanted to meet at cafe. I think they come out at nighttime. They're definitely going to be out there.
Yes, they come out in the evening. It's usually around dusk.
Listen.
It's usually around dusk.
On 38 and Post, on the southeast corner, you got McDonald's, Taco Bell, and the plaza, all those businesses that close at nighttime. On the southwest corner, you got a dental office that's now closed down. Kroger's is closed down. A couple of stores over there, that's commercial. That's a plaza. On the northwest corner, you got a cafe, closes at night, boys club closes at night. Oh, excuse me, I'm burping out of here.
And
this is in the neighborhood. They're anywhere they're supposed to be at. They're supposed to be on 42nd and Post. Ain't nothing over there on 30th.
My question is,
what are they doing?
They can buy their own security at the restaurant.
You sure you saw the 10-point coalition and you didn't see the youth program that's over there cleaning up?
They might have been getting lunch.
There's nothing to protect them there yet. There's a neighborhood that sits back a little bit further than that. That maybe is at one crime in the last, who knows how long. But, okay, I'm glad to see the day out there. Hopefully it'll make an impact and a change. They haven't yet, but I didn't expect it to.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask you, what can we do? Charlie Hustle, whoever Mika might be. I can't read, so I don't know what they're saying. I don't know their kind.
Well, I just left a meeting. It's called the, I want to say, it's a Far East Side Community Conversation. I think it was called. But they just elected the president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer.
Okay.
And so something that I didn't realize didn't exist when it came, at least. But you don't have anybody that's speaking for the community. I mean, like, this was a community meeting, and I was extremely shocked that the councilwoman wasn't even there. Now, it is what it is, you know what I mean? I'm not mad about it, but as a council person, you know, she might have been busy. She could have been at another meeting. You know, again, I don't know. But I'll say this, for somebody who's continuously active out there, I pick and choose what I do. And this is all of us. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Stuff like that. But sitting in that meeting, one of the things that was brought up was that, you know, you have different programs out there, different community groups, especially for the Far East Side. There was a meeting at some point this year where they were voting on whether or not to put a cell tower on the Far East Side. Now, this organization where they were having this conversation at doesn't represent the area where the cell tower was going. Now, I know this has nothing to do with violence, but I'm going to bring it full circle. If you have people making decisions for your community when it comes to funding, when it comes to supporting
the
program, and they don't live there, that's misrepresentation to the highest level. Because how can you tell me what's needed in my community if you don't live or come to my community? So first things first, as a community, whether it is a street or a block or a neighborhood, you have to step up and start to participate. Like, I say it all the time, and I'm always live by it. When real men don't step up to take positions as leaders, we become followers of fools. So you'll see a lot of people step up and speak up and all that who don't even have the real intentions.
They need it for attention. The best thing they have is their mouth.
Yeah, so I agree it starts at home, but why are we trying to figure that out? Because I can't come into your house and make you do anything. Like you said,
absolutely.
You know, my kids. But one thing I can do is continue to put myself or somebody else or all of us in a position where our voices matter when it comes to decisions that are being made.
Let me flip the script on you. Let me ask it this way. Let's get funny. Devil's advocate, right?
I got answers to everything. Because it's Jesus.
Ain't fucking with technology, but we roll together, though. We roll together. How about, what if they say it to slow down the violence?
Again.
We'll start telling.
Ooh. You mean telling them who did what?
You know, such and so. Old Ray Ray did a murder over there. And we know this shit.
First of all, I want people to quit listening. If you're not from the streets and you're not no street chicken or street dude, quit acting like you stick to the code of the streets.
Man, listen. You ain't with the shit. You is not with the shit. Don't do it.
I know we running around talking about it, but I ain't no snitch. Bro, you don't even know. I don't think you even understand what a snitch is. You know what I mean? Like, if me and you do a crime, and I get caught, and I'm like, well, you know, JoJo, that's snitching.
That's dry snitching.
But if somebody breaking in your neighbor house, you ain't gonna call it. Listen, somebody tried to break in my mama's house a couple years ago. You know what the neighbor did? He picked up the phone. He called my stepfather. Was like, yo, it's some creepy dude running around the back of your crib. Like you said, you called your neighbor. Is that snitching?
I don't give a shit what it was. I'm telling.
But that's my point. Like,
shit.
People playing a game that ain't got nothing to do with you. You're not even part of the game. I'm not on street, dude. I'm not part of the streets. Do I understand, you know, what snitching is and what it ain't? I do. But at the same time,
the thing, I've been part of the street. I done hustled. I done been in prison. I'm in jail. I done did a lot of shit. And I'm still going and called my neighbor and told his ass somebody breaking into his house. Because at some point, the shit's got to stop.
Listen, a thief is a thief.
It's a thief.
And your job is to make it impossible or almost as possible, impossible for that thief to break in your house. Y'all not on the same team. So, if...
And you're not reporting it, you're condoning it. Let me tell it.
So my thing is that the snitching thing is, I love this conversation. Because this is a catch-22, because don't nobody want to talk.
Until it's their family.
Yeah, then now you on TV, please step up.
With somebody, everybody knows.
You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, don't nobody want to have murder in their neighborhood. You know what I mean? So for my thing is, if you don't want to be in a position where you either got to tell or don't tell, how about you be proactive? And you start doing the situations or you start doing the things that need to happen so those crimes ain't happening in your neighborhood.
Huh.
Like the last time I was in a neighborhood that had that cohesiveness, I went out and purchased a program to where it was just a group text program to where, let's just say it was a suspicious car in the neighborhood. One person could send that text and go to everybody in the whole housing addition. Everybody. I guess I'm snitching, though, because I just set up this program. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's like, you know what's right and what's wrong. I don't make decisions for you, but you choose to do.
I feel like.
That's on you. I ain't got no plan.
If I let you get away with it today, breaking in they shit, tomorrow, you're going to think it's cool to break in my shit. And, you know, I'm trying to prevent it. An ounce of medicine is always worth better than the pound of cure.
Yeah.
I'm always with the preventative, first and foremost.
Yeah.
And if I can prevent it from happening, let it be that.
If I can catch somebody stealing from me and have a conversation in terms of around that they never steal from anybody again, that's a win. And I know I can do it because I've done it before. Not saying I even look for those opportunities. The opportunity to catch.
Somebody trying to steal from you, though. What's the chance that you're going to talk to him?
It wasn't no trying. He got caught stealing. He got caught. We had a conversation. And you know what happened? We wound up doing business. Now, is that always going to be the case? Hell no.
I caught somebody stealing from me. Samir, you remember somebody broke in my car and stole my CDs? You called him. And I was just had to walk on my door. I'm like, my inside of my car light is on. I look and I'm like, hey, it's a little fucker in my car. Little shorty, though. You know what I mean? Like 14, 15, but you done broke in my shit. I don't give damn. You grabbed him by the collar. He was about to get the beat that. I wasn't going to do it. But, you know, the gentleman who caught him was about to go and smash it.
Right.
And, you know, we're like, no. Let me just call the police. Let me tell them to work it out. Say, I'd rather let them deal with it than you hurt this little boy and possibly take his life. You know what the police did? Let me tell you what the police did, though. They said, ma'am, I don't know if I was mad. Honestly, I was kind of mad. Though in hindsight, I'm glad I'm not glad. Happy, not happy. Here's what they did. They said, look, ma'am, we found your CDs. You recover your stuff. They threw them. When the police came, he threw them. They threw them up in the yard. So we found it, you know. Yep, that's one of my words. Don't judge me. Stephanology, bang, bang. And we found it. The police say, we going to, instead of taking him to juvenile, what we going to do is, what they have him do, Samir? Break my leave.
The yard. I like that.
They had him rake my release every week for a month.
I like that.
And if he don't come, then they're going to arrest him.
Honestly, I like that. And I know you can't do that with everybody.
No.
But there are certain situations that sometimes, and let me say this, even you calling the police on me was still intervention. And that's what people don't realize. Like, if you do nothing, then that's worse.
It is.
Something.
I wanted him beat up because he messed my door up, but at the same time, that's somebody's kid, you know? And sometimes I was a kid and I did some fucked up shit. I mean, listen. But I believe that sometimes there is redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes sometimes you get in a bad situation and you make bad choices.
Bad choice I'm making right now,
because
I didn't plug on my MacBook.
Man, I read that. I'm done. But, you know, like, there's unseen people they have on the news where people go and they're so hungry. They got to feed their kids. They go in the store and beg for food. Can I, you know, or try to steal some food to feed their kids? That was a bad choice trying to steal from them. But at the same time, you in dire straits. What am I, how am I going to feed my baby? And I'm going to shut this baby up for some food. But do you lock them up? Or do you, you know what I mean, you bless them and say, here, let me help you out one time. How many times you going, how many times is somebody going to help them versus how many times they going to just go to jail?
I mean, the thing is, you can't help everybody.
No.
So it's just like even the concept of paying it forward, how you was talking about, you know, we shouldn't have made you feel good.
I say one thing every day.
What I'm saying is you can't pay it forward with everybody.
No, I pick and choose. But it's random kind of, but I pick and choose.
It's the same with that family or that guy that is going outside of the law to feed his family. You have to pick and choose. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I do so much giving away. You know what I mean? I remember in conjunction with Kroger's and McDonald's, I should have been speaking in the money the whole time.
How about that?
In conjunction with McDonald's and Kroger's, we went to Kroger's grocery stores, and we knew just, you know what I mean, like, we went up on Pelican Pike, and then some people might not consider that the hood. Bruh, it's right around the corner. Go to that Walmart over there and tell me it ain't the hood.
Oh, my God, yes, it is.
We went on the west side off of, like, Georgetown, and, you know what I mean, like, we went to these Kroger's, and we got food for random people. Now, I will admit, some of the people that we gave it to probably didn't need the help, but we did our best to pick people that we felt needed help as well. And there were some people that reached out to us on, like, Facebook and Twitter who was like, yo, look, I'm going through it. I mean, it was one guy, mom of the child of the baby died giving birth. They had three kids and a brand-new newborn. He held it down by himself, doing his best. Now, let me say this. A father's supposed to hold it down anyway, but I understand. You have a baby, and that woman dies giving birth to your child, and you have to pick up the pieces and go that very next day. That's hard. So we told him, come on up, we got you. You know what I mean? Like, I understand breaking the law, and I know we're talking about crime, and we're not necessarily talking about the people who have what we would consider kind of justified behind it. But at the same time, some of this crime is a matter of lack of education, lack of opportunity, lack of income, lack of the ability to even just get yourself in a position to get the education that they have. You know what I mean? Like, some of these crimes are definitely based on the circumstances that have been withheld from African-Americans. And don't get me wrong, I understand more blacks are CEOs, more blacks are going to college.
That's a real cute story.
That's real, but guess what? More black people are still struggling, too. As those numbers for college graduates go up, broke people numbers go up, too.
You know what? As the college graduates go up, so do their student loans. Fuck that.
Oh, yeah. You spend $30,000 just to make $30,000. Congratulations, my friend.
I got duped.
I ain't gonna say.
I take that back. I'm sorry because I appreciate my education. I really do.
I mean, everything that I've done in my professional life.
But I feel like they can find a better way.
I think one thing we need to do is get back to teaching people, not just white people, teaching people trades. Like photography for me is a trade.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, like, I've already found what my retirement is gonna be. It's not gonna be me sitting in the front of Walmart or Kroger's. I'm going to do photography, and it's not even about the money. It's about remaining to be active when I'm at an older age, and now I found me a trade, something that I can do. I can make a little money on it, but it's also something that I enjoy, and that's not, like, you know, hard work.
But all things that we do is work. I think it gives you a sense of satisfaction. And to me, it makes the job worth doing. You know, how many jobs do you get to smile when you do it?
I mean, but
do you look forward to doing your job? Do you look forward to taking pictures?
I ain't no job. Oh, that.
Yeah, photography. Do you like it?
I like it, and sometimes, you know what I mean, I don't.
It's tedious. You know, it's work, however.
I just don't like people.
Oh, my God. You are.
But yeah, sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. But, I mean, for me, though, like, it's not like me and you. I think we have a choice on where we're going to go and what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people don't like what they do, so they jump into that particular job or that particular field because they just want to get money.
And I mean.
So what happens when you get fired and you're not getting the money no more? Like that's the thing about opportunity. Like, everybody talking about all this opportunity that exists. Let me tell you this. The truth of the matter is this. If opportunity was like everybody say it is, it would be more than 10% of America making over $100,000 a
month. Amen to that.
Opportunity is not something like y'all think it is. Now, can you create opportunity? Absolutely. You got to go out there and you got to take it. But to say that opportunities are just out there, waiting on people, it's not true. I don't care what you say.
True.
Look,
no, not true.
McDonald's is not an opportunity for a grown man with a family.
No, it's not feasible at all.
No.
I believe that.
They don't even want to hire kids like that no more. They won't try to be stuck. They won't try to, and I know, before I get some heat for this, but this is just the real. They don't want somebody who has aspirations. Why? Because you're going to move up and you're going to move down. That's just the real. They want a working class. It's not just McDonald's. But I'm telling you, there are owner-operators who don't want to hire these kids. Remember, do you remember when McDonald's was a kid's job?
It was standard procedure.
Like, you had some grown-ups because you got to have adult supervision. I remember it was like that.
That was just a teenage job, like cutting grass and stuff like that.
I went to McDonald's on 38th and Post the other day with one teenager right there this summertime.
You go to the one 38th and Capitol, and it's not a lot. It used to be my worked there. Samara worked there. A couple of my kids worked there. But you worked there. I'm saying it was like a rite of passage. Like, the kids go to McDonald's, get a job.
So we need some opportunities to help.
We need more than McDonald's.
And, like, again, I look at 38th and Post. Hey, man, forget that. Let's move to 42nd and Post. Right now, you got, is it two or three, D. Ross? I know you listen to two or three vacant apartment complexes right there on 42nd.
Jeez.
Oh, excuse me, two or three. And a lot of room was vacant, too.
The ghost town.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just being honest. They're allowing the neighborhood to die.
I'm saying that, and I bet you, they're going to come and do something. Well, they just clearing the road.
They're
going to do something with it.
Oh, I mean, they may do something with it, but whatever they do, if it's living, it's still going to be, it's going to have to be the same type of living standards as far as, like, low income or income based. Like, they have to.
I thought that.
They ain't going to turn it. Like, I'm just being honest. You're not about to turn 42nd and Post into no $200,000 rental zone. And they have to.
But you know what? I don't know, though, because if you go down, like, on 16th Street by College and Bellfound and all of that, did you remember? Man, hey. Ooh, they wouldn't brownstones that. But some of them wouldn't brownstones.
I mean, what I'm saying as far as structure, but that.
They clowning over there.
I mean, I just.
And that used to be some of the worst dope spots.
Listen, you got million-dollar brownstones downtown right now where it used to be income living.
Yep.
$1.4 million right next door, $900 million right next door to that, $900,000, $800,000. Like, you know, look, I love 42nd and Post. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of the damage that's been done, we did to ourselves. But, yeah, they not. Gentrification ain't happening out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fort was still the fort.
Then it would have been absolutely. We see the only lesson we have, one of the main lessons we have where I'm at, is that we have a university, four blocks down the street, and then we have college. Butler is not just any college, you know. You got to pay how you pay there, and so they want their houses back. Their students, they have limited housing for their students, and as they grow, they need space to grow. So they coming our way. So they're going to have to clear the field.
You know why 42nd and Boston won't see gentrification?
Y'all don't got Butler University.
Well, that too, but you got City of Lawrence right there across the railroad track.
They don't give a damn about y'all, man.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like they already got their brick wall.
That's where it is,
you
too.
Know, just being honest, just like, I remember being a young and then, and if you just walk across some railroad tracks on your bike, military police saw you. What you doing? Where you going? You know what I mean?
Oh, well, we know about the tracks. Yeah. I live in out west. Everything out there, Michigan Street, Washington Street,
mm-hmm.
you know, Concord, home,
yeah,
every
I'm
other street.
Houses.
I lived in the projects my whole life, so
what
I wasn't. They still, but they
what
still.
They closed it down, but townhouses.
Townhouses.
Mm-hmm. That's how they did the apartment complex on the south side, so I don't really, I'm not familiar, but I know it's like off of Rainier. That was an apartment complex, and that was all townhouse.
Townhouse. And I had got it. I'm going to keep it 100, and we're going to wrap it up real quick. I got it in my feelings, like, yesterday, day before.
Mm-hmm.
I went over there on 10th Street by the hospital. They got looking at edible arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
And
wait. Stop it.
I take the wheelchair. But I like fruit. And I was like, I'm going to go see what, you know, bouquets and stuff they have.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to just spin my head around, and I froze. And I looked at Lockfield. I don't know what window, but I could have swore I seen a head of one of my sisters and brothers in one of them windows. I know we not over there, but it just gave me a flash.
Lockfield Gardens.
Baby.
He's Gardens. I'm not really from here, so.
But yeah, Lockfield Gardens. But my aunt lived across the street, and now it almost, you know, kind of brought tears to my eyes because it just everything that was historic over there, that was real history on the avenue. It completely wiped out.
I just learned about that.
That, I mean, I was there, part of the history. I grew up in the history. You know, the hamburger, Mr. Tyler's dead, the ice cream, the liquor store with it. They had a liquor store with a park right next to it, so I guess the drunks can run in and get something to drink while we on our little thing. Real life, though, right across here from the project. Right by school four.
I went to the museum in Riverside. That's how I learned about life.
Wow. Went there, too. But, yeah, I
never knew it existed.
Yeah. And because then we even had a little school. It became one of the IUPUI buildings, school four.
What
right
was
in the back.
They said it was a high school that used to be downtown. It was all black. Besides attics, that was real good at sports.
Oh my God. My mama used to talk about that school.
It was real good.
They were.
It was a black school. That was real good.
But that's because we historic. We was the first black. So that's the everything after one don't count. But anyway.
Turn up. Was it the Pepsi Boys and something about Christian? Like a little dance
room,
Pepsi.
That was out of my jurisdiction. Yeah. I don't know nothing about no Pepsi, Coke, Sprite, or Dr. Pepper, boy.
Steve Ross wants to talk about generational wealth. What happened to that?
Generational wealth. D. Ross, why don't you just bring your happy butt up here? Apparently, you and Smoke. You and Smoke, come on up here. Wood, thank you. My mama named Wood, thank you. OG real life, yes, Wood High School. But, I mean, how many IPSs we got left, though? You count them on one hand.
I know the Chamber of Commerce just told them to shut some old stuff down.
Yeah, everything's been privatized, so they can make money off of us instead of teaching.
Yeah, that's girl.
But, ladies and we really do. Just shut it down, we shut it down. But speaking of shutting it down, we're going to have to go and shut it down. I think it's right about this. Oh!
She killed.
It's going to use me before us. Yeah, but anyway.
Next level.
Nope. Look, didn't he look scared, John? Did y'all see that? Oh, there go that fly, motherfucker.
Hey, you punched me in my
eyelid. Hey, when you get beat up by flies, it's time to go.
At that,
yeah, hey.
He didn't
need it. He didn't have to pull out the strap or nothing on. But We gonna go and wrap this thing up. I know my engineer getting nervous. Now, look, I got shit to
do. We got 4 minutes. Hey, Ryan, I'm not sure if people still put their kids in the National Urban League, but Black College Tours are still on. I know a lot of people whose kids, my daughters,
My kids went to Nat Dead and went on the tour. They still have some.
Yeah, one of them going to Black College. My youngest, probably not going to happen.
They have taken a lot of the fire out of the historical Black colleges.
Well, around the world, I'm looking at all these famous graduates. Like, why are these?
Stop. That's another day, another way. That's another Jerry Springer story, and I would like to tap on that. I'm going to pop that on the ass because I got the same question.
Like, yeah,
now, that question.
Rich and famous alumni, but they be letting their schools go bankrupt.
I got questions. Didn't many people like Bill Cosby used to try to, you know, do a good thing? There were some that gave
I thought like it was for a while, though. Like, wow, what was that one show called? A Different World?
Yeah, they
like,
tried to
like,
promote it.
You had the historic Black college clothing line or something like that. And I remember wearing stuff with Howard on it. And I didn't play no
well, I mean, they tried to keep the Black college thing going. They had Sponsor Yard and the little band thing. What's the little band thing?
I mean, okay, the band thing definitely. Sponsor Yard, they do it in every college.
But I mean,
Drumline,
yeah. See, I was in the Drumline at X, so. I quit you officially.
Yeah, the little train.
Ding. Oh, you got me, buddy. Nah, I was like this. Boom, 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 bass, baby. I play all percussion. I play all percussion. I play the xylophone, the vibraphone. I play the glockenspiel. I play the drum. I play all percussion. I play that, the tritone.
What is a tritone?
The three drums, yeah.
I figured it out. It's a tritone.
The timpanis, they had the tritons that are like the drums. And then the timpanis, boom, because you see the symphony
yeah,
line.
Like,
so.
CPS report for you hearing a big bass drum. You got to bring you some pictures of that.
But I'm caught deep.
I know you can't
see you. I'm going to say one time, don't let the smooth taste fool you.
You can be strong, but your spinal cord is still little.
Baby, I got, hey, that's a strong spine. Just know I can hold mine pound for pound. Round for round. Anyway. I'm talking about I can hold my aunt or super. Sometimes they say aunt can hold 3 times body weight. They have a lot of strength. Me, I'm just saying that I have a lot of scrimp. Aunt woman in the wasp. but I'm just saying I got a lot of ghetto scrimp. Not strength. I got ghetto scrimp. Scrimp. That's in the works. Scrimp all up in my patella. Just have you talk all up in my, I got scrimp all up in my patella.
Okay.
And I got shit to do, so I make it move. We need a move, I move.
Okay.
Right. Leave it alone. Microwave on medium, so leave it alone. Anyway, so. let it go. Hold when I hold, nigga, let it go. We gonna get up out of here, yeah.
Yeah.
So, people, let me just give a shout out to my main man in the front back. Yes. He in the front, buddy.
In
the back, you feel me? In the front back, my guy won. To my right, Kid Dynamite, my firstborn heartbeat, baby. Samir, come here. Merlo. You already know. Yeah, holding it down all night. Oh, my.
I was a.k.a.
Pete. We're going to be Pablo now. Oh, shit, y'all. You're going to blame it on the fly. Now it's the fly, the cop. Okay, I'm looking at you.
Hey, that fly was big. You hit that fly? That fly is dangerous.
With a straight face and a clear conscience. I'm going to say negative.
Tomorrow. I'm just being
honest. Next week at the club, the boxing match will be Petey Pesos versus the Fly.
Ain't no boxing match.
Petey and the Fly. Okay.
Like a movie.
I don't know, but it sounded good.
Where is that from?
I don't know.
I saw that somewhere. Petey and the Fly. What is that?
Petey
That's
but ladies and gentlemen, thank you, one and all. God bless you. Be safe. Blessings. I'm glad to those who made it through the expo that survived it. And we'll talk about that another day. But God bless you. Do you lie? Good night. Black God bless you. Everybody, be safe. God bless you. Good night.